podcast, it's Reveal. For the breakdown left tonight, black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night. It's March 18th, 2025. The field of 68 for the 2025 men's NCAA basketball tournament was revealed just a mere little over 48 hours ago. And we know what seed the Boilermakers are and where they're headed. And we will break all that down. I'm Tanner Lee, both co-hosts, Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch in the house. Fellas, how we doing? Are you ready for the madness to begin?
Absolutely.
Like every year, as soon as the bracket's announced, I just get nauseous.
Yep.
This year.
Yep. It's, you know, it's awesome that Purdue's had a 4 seed or better the last 8 years. Yeah. But with that comes the possibility of Cinderella. So it does. Yeah. And we've been on the wrong side a couple times. So it does kind of get that nauseous feeling in your stomach going a little bit. But better to be in than out.
Yep. It's crazy. It's already here. I was watching a little bit of the first 4 games just to kind of get that little fix. And I was like, wow, I cannot believe the tournament is actually here. Like, you know, we've been, you know, obviously the way it is now, like we're getting bracketology before the season even starts. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's actually, this is for real now. Like it's just the, you know, the season's going to be over at some point within the next couple of weeks, for everybody. And it just, you know, no matter how frustrating it is, I still don't want it to end, as some people may disagree with or maybe surprised by the how sometimes, but I don't want the season. I haven't had a feeling like that since probably 2013, 2014, probably, of wanting a season to end. So
have you guys felt like this season has just flown by compared to
last year? Yeah. Last year, which obviously you played more games than we ever have. But I think just the regular season, 100%. Like, I think I'm sure that was partly because like last year, like we're just, you know, just that that dark cloud hanging over our heads, just sort of like, you know, of what's to come, like knowing that eventually March is going to be there and that's when it really starts. But since December, I feel like it's absolutely flown by.
I definitely can say that it feels like only a few weeks ago I told you that Ole Miss win was going to be big.
I argued with you. You were right. So
need those early. It's a great though. You know, the staff puts together in this heart of a non-con. It's going to see, this is the time of the year where it pans out. Unfortunately, you know, February didn't turn out as what we all expected. But, you know, we're here to play. This team should be back all next year. And it's just what I consider a growth year for this whole squad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, going into it this year, I mean, we'll probably go back and listen to the first episode. Tanner, you and I probably talked about, like, you know, what was our expectation? I think we both said, you know, we would take a top four finish in the Big Ten and probably like a top four seed.
I think we said top six seed. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the fact that, you know, Purdue tied for fourth, obviously they were the sixth seed in the Big Ten tournament, even though they beat the fourth team and lost to the fifth team. It's weird at tiebreakers. And their 4 seed, which again we can get into like surprises of the bracket reveal. We thought this was a, you know, potential second round or second weekend team. Obviously that remains to be seen, but it's just crazy. Like we talked about before, like there was one point in January we were the fifth overall seed and you knock on the door of a 1 seed, and you know, looking at, you know, we were first in the Big Ten, and so obviously like we're where we hoped we would be, but the journey has made it more frustrating than it probably could have been otherwise. But
yep. And that journey has Purdue losing 6 of their last 9 games, but end up with the 4 seed in the Midwest, which I was shocked. I thought for sure Michigan was gonna be a 4 seed, Purdue a 5. Yeah. And when I saw Michigan pop up as a 5, I go, oh my god, I think we're a 4, or maybe we're a 6.
Yeah, because I thought when obviously, you know, they were a 5 going into the Big Ten tournaments. When they beat us, okay, I think Lenardi had us like flipped essentially, which I was like, that makes total sense. And they win it. And I'm like, okay, there's no way they're a 5. Now they definitely took our spot. You know, Wisconsin's probably locked in at a 4 as well. And I can't remember who else was up there. I think Clemson was around that same area. And I was like, man, I hate the 5-12. Just have obviously nightmares of Little Rock. same thing when I saw Michigan, I was like, oh my God, I think we're 4. Yeah. And then sure enough, that was the case. I can't be in that we're a 4 in the Midwest. I thought there was no chance we were getting the Midwest. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I know a lot of Purdue fans are complaining that Purdue has to go to Providence, which, by the way, if you're listening to this for whatever reason or watching for whatever reason, you don't know who Purdue's playing. They're the 4 seed in the Midwest playing 13 seed High Point Panthers out in Providence, Rhode Island for the first round and hopefully second round. A lot of Purdue fans say, we got to go to Providence. Why Illinois 6 seed goes to Milwaukee? Yeah, I get that, but I would trade that for getting to Sweet 16 and having Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
And sometimes maybe you wonder if getting away helps. Yeah. I don't know if that really matters or not. I mean, we've seen obviously last year Purdue played. What was the first round? What was the first weekend that was in Indy? It was Indy first weekend. Duh. Yeah, Indy was first weekend last year. Yeah, year was Columbus.
Columbus.
So this is this is the farthest Purdue's played in. I don't remember where the
2019 was the first. This is since 2019 is the first they've played.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hartford, that's where. Yeah. I can remember where we went in 22 to start.
I don't remember.
21 was
in Milwaukee. My parents went to that Texas game.
And then 21 was in Indy.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
Yeah. That is crazy. So, but Purdue gets early tip time. It's 12:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. So it's literally the second game going on. Usually Purdue's like one of the later ones.
Years because we were a 1 seed, so they put those in more prime time slots. Obviously now it's like, yeah, I hate this.
Well, and when Aaron was talking about Hartford, you remember when we played Old Dominion? We were the last game of the night.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the other games ran late. We didn't have tip till after 10 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a late one.
I believe I was looking at this as the earliest tip since a first round for us since Little Rock.
Yeah, I think Alec Harpick said it might be the absolute earliest since the 80s.
I know we were an early tip.
Little Rock, we were out in Denver, so it
yeah. I know. So, I guess we were Friday because we were an early game for 2018 because when we played Cal Fullerton when Haas broke his elbow.
Yeah, you're right.
That was a Friday game, so it wasn't Thursday. So that makes
sense. Yeah, I remember.
I was out to lunch at work watching that game, etc.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that was Friday.
Because the Little Rock game was like mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so was the Yale was maybe Yale was like right after work time.
Yeah. I think it was like a late afternoon.
Same with Vermont evening. Back in the biggie era.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It all kind of blends in. Well, I mean, that's a good problem to have. We're talking about all these first round games and, and Purdue's the only school in the state to make the tournament yet again. So, Glad we can say that. So, yeah. So, High Point is a team Purdue has a history, short history with, but a history. 1-0, 2011 saw Evan make one of his more athletic plays, called a play, that I had ever seen him make. Cheerleader threw a mini ball, and that thing was whizzing. I mean, they put some heat on it. Evan just snacks it like no luck.
Handed, yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
Cat-like reflexes, yeah.
Yeah. But Purdue only won that game by 2 points. They are having trouble closing the deal with free throws. Robbie Hummel, as of anybody, was missing some late to where he stayed after. I remember there was a photo circling around on Twitter of him shooting free throws afterwards. So, but yeah, the High Point Panthers, they're on a roll. I think they've won, 13 straight, 11 straight, something like it goes back to mid-January. Yep. I know that much.
This is their first tournament ever, right?
Yeah, they were pumped the other day on the selection show. Huss is their head coach. First head coaching job he's had. He was assistant at a few spots, including Creighton. He was head coach at Culver Military Academy in Culver, Indiana, which is by where we all grew up. And in our alma mater, our high school alma mater, played them many
beat
times.
Yep.
Beat them. So we're familiar with Alan Huss.
Are you familiar with his what systems he runs?
I just knew he recruited the crap out of CMA. They had like three foreign guys. They had a 7-footer. Yeah, they, I think because that was my sophomore year, and then junior we played them again and beat them. They didn't have quite the talent on that on my junior year team when we beat them. But I just know our good buddy or our co-host Andrew Eiler played for him for JV. Wasn't a fan, so let's leave it at that.
Yes. Alan Huss, after called military, went to Lalamere, where he coached Rafael Davis and Jay Simpson. So there's some little Purdue ties there a little bit, like through recruiting ranks. I'm sure Matt knows him pretty well. Knows every coach. I'm sure he knows him pretty well. I can't say I've watched a single minute of them play. I know looking at the roster, they got some top transfers with some experience, some guards. They got a 7-footer down low.
Doesn't play a lot, though. Like, he plays like really 25 minutes, maybe. He doesn't play. Yeah. I know they can shoot, but they're inconsistent. Kind of like Purdue, they can shoot, but they're inconsistent. So it's just, hope that they are not hitting.
But they average mid 80s per game, though.
They put up points, but they're one of the worst defensive teams that made the tournament, including Purdue. They're even worse defensively.
And they like play up tempo. I think that there's been a couple times where they've been down like 15 points, but they just turn up the tempo and have been able to come back. So obviously, I mean, we shouldn't feel safe with any lead, as we've seen, kind of, especially double digits. So won't be any different on Thursday.
Well, in any scenario, really in any basketball game, but especially in a NCAA tournament game, when you're 9.5, borderline 10 point favorites with 10 minutes left in the game, you better not be letting them hang around. Because that's when the other crowds wait for the other games are in there, and everybody starts rooting for the underdog, and it becomes a road game. So, if Purdue wants to feel good, they better have that game in control with 10 minutes left, I would say. So, making open shots is going to be key. We had tons of looks against USC, even more open looks against Michigan, and just couldn't find it.
Yeah. I think that Michigan game, you can contribute a lot of it to fatigue. You kind of saw it, like, even from the, like, I think Braden's first shot was short in front of the rim. And I was just, as soon as he shot, as soon as it hit the rim, I was like, ooh, that's short. Like, that's a leg thing. That's a fatigue. He played all 40 minutes against USC, because that was probably the most frustrating part, was just the fact that we couldn't put that team away to where we could rest guys, because, playing on, 24 hours, less than 24 hours of rest. They just didn't have, but obviously now they're going to have, obviously, almost a week to rest up and work on things. So,
And that's what's nerve wracking too about the NCAA tournament, like between first, second round. I know they get an extra day, but still it's a pretty quick turnaround to play. Same thing if you get to Sweet 16 and Elite 8, but I guess you just figure it out from that point. Yep. Everybody's in the same predicament. So, but yeah, Braden and Fletcher have to hit open shots. They got open looks against Michigan. I think they combined 4 for 25, something around there, 4 for 22. It wasn't good. Fletcher had a scary incident, came down his elbow real hard. I thought for sure he broke it.
I thought he too.
Did he dislocate it? Because it did look out of socket.
So they called it a sprain.
Yeah.
He's not practicing, but he's going to play. So
I think he's going to practice when they get to Providence, which they got to Providence today. But I think it was they said he wasn't going to practice Monday. But I think when they got to Providence, he would practice. So,
Is he going to have to wear a brace at this point? I mean,
I don't know. I guess we'll see. Maybe a shooter sleeve with a pad or something.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
at least it was a non-shooting arm.
Yeah.
Correct. Just hope we can't go down on it. I mean, I literally thought he dislocated it based how swollen it was and everything. And I know none of us were there, but if one of us were there to see if they actually reset it, that would make sense to me. But hopefully he's able to go. I mean, that's.
Luckily the x-rays came back clean. So, I mean, at least that's better than Isaac Haas was.
Right.
Do you guys remember? I thought Isaac kept playing a little bit, but am I remembering that wrong?
I don't remember. I remember him going down because I was out. I was watching the game at Wings, etc. But I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, he went down.
It didn't even look that bad. Yeah.
And then later that night was when they remember on ESPN they're like, breaking news, producer Narzikas out for the remainder of the tournament, and I was just like, stomach just dropped.
Oh, I know. I about puked when I read it on Golden Black, like hour and a half after the game.
Yeah.
That was awful.
I have no idea if he went back in or not.
I thought he did, but
I thought he did because they put an elbow brace on it. That's what I remember.
Yeah. Or a pad. And then they did engineer. You guys remember that engine? They engineered a brace for him, but Matt's like, no. No. Wish we had him. We could have maybe beat Texas Tech. I mean, they were a good Texas Tech team, but definitely would have had a better chance. But yeah, it just comes down. I mean, Purdue's defense is what it is at this point. Yeah. It's just we saw a glimpse of a good Purdue defense in January. I don't know. I think that was more of who they played than anything. Maybe looking back,
I think they figured some stuff out. I think it was just other teams also figured stuff out. They figured out, you know, it was kind of like, you know, Purdue changed things, which it worked. I think, yeah, obviously, I think part of, you know, who we played, we didn't play exactly Murderer's Row, which was kind of what we needed though for that for the season. But I think some teams kind of figured some stuff out, and again, maybe contributed to, you know, guys, you know, not necessarily taking plays off, maybe just again being tired or whatever, not buying in, who knows what it is, but not being sharp. But then teams made adjustments, and again, you have what you have at the end of the day. Like, you can only do so much. There is no rim protection. Flat out isn't, unless you put in Wilberg in there and just throw some bows or something. You just have to just kind of keep guys out of the paint. We did that against USC, and then Claude was hitting some mid-range jumpers. You kind of have to live with that. You know, it's the most inefficient shot. But yeah, it just kind of is what it is at this point. You just kind of hope that you can, you know, keep them out of the paint. Then they, you know, miss more than they make from mid-range and three.
Because one thing that was amazing when you look at the score of the Purdue-Michigan game, you probably think, oh, Purdue probably had quite a few turnovers. Purdue had less than five.
Yeah.
It just came down to, of course, not being able to stop Michigan around the rim, but also just not hitting open shots.
I think it had a lot to do with it. You know, we just missed a lot of shots.
Yep. Couldn't get a run going. Every time he started getting something little going, couldn't hit that big shot. Trey Kaufman Wren staying out foul trouble is going to be huge, which unfortunately he hasn't been able to do for the last two or three weeks, feels like. I am anxiously awaiting how the refs outside the Big Ten are going to officiate him. I mean, what scares me about him is, and this is part of his play, like him being such a good player, he's so aggressive. He bowls his way in there. All it takes is a guy or two to flop.
Yeah.
And then they were in a predicament. So,
yeah. And this is the type of team that would do that because they probably watch it and like, hey, first time he does that, you know, he'll do it once. And then, you know, next time he does it, just fall and they're going to get it. Like, I mean, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten it even like just without the guy falling, because sometimes he really does like throw himself in there.
But can't their officials review that? I mean, because I feel like they were reviewing everything this weekend. So
I've lost track of what they can and can't review.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking about this on my podcast last night. I am so sick. My least favorite motion in sports right now is this.
Yeah.
Yep. Everything after under 2 minutes, everybody's like, review it.
Even it'll be minute 17 in the first half, and they'll go up and they'll begin doing it. I'm like, shut up.
You know, I used to like that. I'm at home run in baseball. That was annoying. Well, you guys wouldn't know much about home runs. You're White Sox fans, but
shut up.
I mean, maybe for the opposition. So I gotta get one dig in there before baseball starts. I'm sorry.
I should go out or take a dig at my little.
Hey, league. You got the best record in Chicago. You got the best record in Chicago right now.
It's true. That's true.
Cubs are 0-1.
0-2 after tomorrow.
Yes, they probably will be. Ted Berkey on YouTube said, I like our first round matchup, but Clemson worries me. McNeese State worries me too. I mean,
Will Wade, he's a hell of a coach.
Yeah, just beat High Point and then worry about whoever comes next, because either way it won't be easy. I mean, like my wife was asking me about High Point today. I said, it's a matchup Purdue should win. Purdue probably wins 8 or 9 times out of 10, but I said, that's why it's the tournament. You never know.
Yeah, all it takes is, I mean, as we've seen.
Oh, yeah.
It just, you know, if you're not hitting shots and they are, and, you know, again, like, you know, everything plays a part in it. You know, is this guy getting foul trouble? Does, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, play tight. But hopefully this team, obviously, you know, hopefully seeing what is being said, because everybody, I mean, they're probably the most popular upset pick in the tournament right now. I mean, the minute it was announced that they was like, oh, high point to the Sweet 16 or the round of 32 and McNeese. He had McNeese winning too, but it's just like, hopefully that stuff. I mean, it pissed off Purdue. It was a good Purdue, so I'll take it.
Yep.
Got the two best players on the court. They're going to walk
out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, there should not be any – none of these guys, regardless if they're the best transfers in the portal, there's a reason why they were transfers in the portal. I know they came from Kansas, Texas Tech, UTEP.
There's a reason they're on high point.
Yes. There's 100% reason that they left that culture. They looked for another opportunity. Has sold them. They did great. I mean, they beat Winthrop in two out of 3 weeks twice, which who was picked to win the Sun Belt. So, yeah. Hey, good for them. But, I mean, Braden and TKR got to come out and say, we're the two best players on the court.
Yeah,
they can't hold a candle to us at this point. We need to go play our game and put it all out on the court pretty much and do it each and every time. I mean, they got to know that they're probably not going to have a supporting cast. I mean, we went a whole month. And
although I'd like what we've seen from Jakari. Jakari's like the one guy who was actually doing anything against Michigan. I think it's because he had probably the freshest legs.
He scares me though at times. He gets going, it's a little out of control.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, Colvin can knock down some shots. Hopefully, I mean, you just hope like guys like that, just like when they have opportunities, they hit them. Like,
let it rip. Don't hesitate. Let it rip.
You know, hopefully, first can rebound the ball like crazy. And that's what it's going to take is like, you know, if you give them second chance points, they're going to make you pay.
Yep.
Any team will do that. So, like you said, Lynch, if Purdue comes out and plays their game, like this shouldn't be, it shouldn't really be in question like with 5-10 minutes ago.
No. I mean, I know this is completely different because the transfer rule and NIL with this stuff, but no, Braden's one of the top five best players in college basketball. TKR is probably top 20.
If not top 10. Yeah.
I'm being fair because they're could get a little top 15.
Yeah.
But fair. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's just fluky situations that we're gonna rise. I don't think this is 2016 at all. I mean, at all in any of the other ones, no. North Texas, things like that. I mean, this is a completely different team that just lacks skills on defense, and we don't have opportunities. And this team's a two-man offensive show.
I agree with everything you guys said. And you know, one thing I'm trying to keep myself positive, even though I do agree with, for the most part, we are a two-man offensive show, but with two of those top 10, 15, 20 players in a nation, it is hard for teams to stop still.
It is.
I mean, especially a team like High Points, they haven't played anybody to produce caliber.
No.
But
they've never seen Braden guard pretty much be guarding. If we play, honestly, I don't know if we're going to play because of press defense again, half court traps, things like that, what we're rotating back in January. If that's going to play a key, because I know he's been playing 40 minutes a game, really, and that's a lot for him. But especially going downstairs,
averages 38 per game, though. I mean, so which is crazy.
Really like, I mean, that 2 minutes of rest is nothing.
Yeah, like, I think Trey averages nothing. Like 32 or 33 per game. Yeah. So that's a lot of mileage on both guys' tires. But
yeah,
it's that time of year you got to throw that out the window and then just put it down.
If Painter and staff want to get weird, throw Waddell in there.
That would be weird. Yeah, that'd be getting weird.
He's put Berg out there. Why don't we put Waddell in there and see what we got?
I wish, and hopefully this comes to fruition next year, I wish CJ Cox could play more point and give Braden a breather once in a while. Hopefully next year that comes to fruition a little bit.
Which we've seen that in bits where like he'll bring the ball up and it kind of allows Braden to kind of. And obviously, Braden's not guarding the ball handler because I think just give him a break because he's not exerting so much on defense. Him and Jakari can take the step forward to be better ball handlers. And you never know, like maybe they can get one in the portal. I have no idea if the portal's even an option for a guard like that.
Or is West ball handler at all?
I think he's more of a two guard type thing. Okay. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I haven't, all I've seen of his tape is him scoring, so it's kind of hard to. at that, and at that level, it's hard to really tell.
Here's the thing, too. I mean, your growth and what I look at it, these guys have a bunch of minutes and a bunch of tape they can reference this offseason and work with coaches to figure out weaknesses and where to get better. So CJ being a primary ball handler could happen. Jakari being a true two scorer very well could happen. Miles and Heidi figuring out confidence issues, that's going to be them in this offseason. But they, yeah. I mean, they're all in TKR. Hopefully, you become a better defensive player next year.
Yeah.
But hopefully, he has some help to where he's not the last line of defense all the time.
He's probably going to slide over and play four next year again.
Right.
Yeah. Like a Jacobson, or if they
go get portal help.
It's already obvious. It's pretty much been reported that, you know, Purdue's going to go for a portal big.
So go get an enforcer of some sort.
Yeah. Someone just huge. Yeah. Just. Yeah, I'm all about it.
Go get a Matt Harms type of player. Like someone that's just
I was like a Cliff Amore type guy, like just a guy who can just block shots and rebound the ball, block shots. Like
Gordon Watt. Even though Gordon Watt was 6'7", but Gordon Watt toughness. Yeah. Just somebody that's not gonna back down. Not dirty, but
But still, like, I mean, like Zach Edey wasn't dirty, but he
intimidating.
He was physical and intimidating. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as they buy into the culture, that's all that matters. I mean, they got to know their role. They got to do their job.
Yep.
And play defense, because this team is legit on transition points. And we've seen it without a shot blocker. Imagine if we had averaging three to four shots blocks a game that we could turn into points.
Yep.
Some of these games in February would have probably not lost 6 out of 9.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was – I think people – a good point, Aaron, because I think people forget, too. Everybody looks at the 6 out of 9. There were some close losses in there. Michigan came down to a buzzer beater. Michigan State got kind of out of hand with 3-4 minutes to go. Indiana, we won't talk about that one. Illinois was tight. I mean, Purdue had that until 2 minutes.
That Wisconsin game in the second half wouldn't have happened, probably.
Yeah, and Wisconsin wasn't the offensive fault. That was all defense, like you said. So, yeah. Yeah, people kind of forget that in hindsight.
And I bet that's what Matt's looking at in this. The entire coaching staff is, can we find a person that can shot block, rebound the ball? That way we can start turning these, you know, fast break opportunities and transition opportunities, because we have the best point guard in the nation.
And I think when we see Matt get into portal, not just next year, but going forward, I think more times than not, it's going to be a guy with 1 year eligibility left. Because I feel like he was always a big proponent in the grad transfer, but he hasn't liked the portal. And he always thought grad transfers can help you get somebody in experience for 1 year.
You just made me think of something. Who is the guard that we got from High
Point? Jahad Proctor.
Proctor, that's what it
was. Yeah, he went from Iona to High Point to Purdue. Yep.
Okay.
He was on the 1920 team that most likely was going to miss the tournament unless they got hot in the Big Ten tournament. But we'll never know. We'll never know. Never know. That's why our streak's alive. We'll never know.
I think we would have known that Geo Baker game in the last
one. Yeah, that hurt pretty bad. Then we probably wouldn't have beat Ohio State 7-10 matchup. But hey, we never know. It never got played. Never got played. You know the fan base who's still the maddest about everything in that season, Dayton, because that was their chance to do something.
Lose their chance. Huge. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it. Well, our buddy that's an Illinois fan still whines about it too. He was pretty sure they had a chance to do something. But
yeah.
Speaking of Illinois, I saw this earlier and forgot to get to it. Cameron Day on Facebook's hoping Illinois loses by 80.
Same.
Yeah, wouldn't hurt my feelings. I don't remember who they play. Oh, they played Texas or Xavier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which that, I mean, that's a.
Yeah.
I think Texas will win that one.
Like, it'll be a good game.
Yeah, but that's a. That's a tough one.
Why are they putting those games at 9:10 tips? I mean, that's nuts. I'm sorry.
People will watch them. A lot of people take this week off.
I say it every year. I never do. I say it every year. I'm like, I'm going to take that Thursday, Friday off. And then it's like March 4th. I'm like, oh, crap, I didn't take this. Thursdays
off. Thursday's the highest. The first round of the NCAA tournament's the highest appointment day for vasectomies every year.
Yeah. You think it'd be like smart. Wednesday. And then, like, so that Thursday,
rest,
Friday.
Rest for 2 days. You rest.
Yeah, you rest for 2 days, yeah.
I love that. I think that's funny. It's true, Aaron. It's true.
It's true. That's the radio ads. It's all you hear. Like,
from, and think how many times Michael Scott did that on The Office. Snip, snap, snip, snap. He probably had to do that three different tournaments.
I think he's a Penn State fan. Or think he's a Pitt fan. Who do we think?
Duquesne.
Oh, God.
LaSalle.
Yeah.
Well, LaSalle's a Philadelphia. Yeah, Philadelphia. Yeah.
They probably, yeah. I mean, they like Philly.
Yeah.
I was going to say Penn, but it's too high class for Mike.
Oh, yeah. Too smart for Michael. And he would have been rivals with Andy Bernard there. Ivy League rivals there.
Yeah.
Mitch Miller, can you imagine having a vasectomy to have to watch Purdue play? No, it wouldn't be good for me.
No.
I'd be in pain more ways than one. Oh, God.
You think anesthesia would wear off that quick?
I couldn't imagine doing that 2 years ago during the FDU game. Oh, my God.
Well, that was at night, so it would have worn off by then. So you would have been in pain.
I hate to admit this, I don't think I've ever yelled at some of our players as much as I did that night. I said some things I'd like to take back about some current roster members. That was pretty bad. One of them's a key member on the team. That's all I'm saying. So, but no, it's fun to be in the tournament again. Always fun to see your name pop up on Selection Sunday. Like, I was thinking the last time we were really kind of a bubble team. You have to go back to Carl Andrews' senior year.
I'd say 2015. I thought we were kind of a bubble team. I think we knew we were in, but it was like, ooh, like, are we going to be like, but then we ended up being like a 9 seed. It was like, oh, we were actually like,
we were the second game revealed.
Yeah. It was we were the third Cincinnati team, or the fourth team revealed. Or were we an 8 or a 9?
We were 9 because Cincinnati was an 8.
Okay.
And I remember that Landry year too, 8-9.
Yeah.
Played Arizona.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we thought, because it was like, oh, hey, we're back in the tournament, but congrats, you play undefeated Kentucky if you win.
Yep.
2015. I remember there was one year, I think it was the year we got in as a 6 and beat Baylor and then lost to Xavier, the Baby Boilers year. I think it was that year we were like one of the last games going. Because I remember my dad saying, did they forget about us? like, I guess
we were kind of a bubble team in 2012 because we were, a 10 seed?
10, and we played 7 seed St. Mary's. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were kind of, I guess, a bubble team then, too. Yeah,
but we got Kansas next round.
Yeah.
Could have beat them.
Yeah.
Probably should have beat them, to be honest, the way that game went. Dominated most of the game and Heartbreak City at the end, last 2 minutes. So.
We had a power outage in the dorms. I remember that because I was like, that was like the Sunday.
Yeah, it was Sunday.
Spring break.
Yep.
And it was the day we got back from spring break. I remember like trying to watch it in the dorm. We couldn't because the power went out. And like finally got caught at the end of it finally. But yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, Robbie was on fire that first half. And Purdue had a chance to be the nation's team that year because of the Robbie story. And then would have played, I think it was NC State next, the Sweet 16. And then I think North Carolina and Ohio were the other two teams in that region. So they really had a chance. But
yeah,
shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah.
Woulda, coulda. Well, how are we feeling that going in Thursday? We wanted to throw some score predictions out there, some player of the game, spicy bold takes, all that good stuff.
Go ahead, Evan.
I'm nervous, obviously. but again, like,
would you be as nervous if Purdue hadn't lost to double digits in the last 4 years, or is it
I think it's more just again, like,
yeah,
as far as like not necessarily losing, it's just like losing again to a double digit seed. Like, it's just like, it's just the, I mean, we're kind of seeing again, like, even after last year making the Final Four and that championship game, like, people are like, oh, you know, can't trust
Purdue. Oh, yeah,
around. It's like, even though I always conflate losing to St. Peter's as losing in the first round, which I'm not sure how Kentucky gets off the hook for that, because
it was
still a Sweet 16 team.
Yeah.
We made Sweet 16 5 out of the last 7 years.
Yep.
Which is obviously 2 of those years in between were really, really bad. North Texas wasn't that bad. It was a weird year anyway.
It was a weird year. We were a very young team. That one didn't even bother me that much, to be honest.
No, and it was like we overachieved. Like I was like, that was a year where it was just like, I don't even know. Like, just make the tournament. Yep. Like, who cares at this point? And then, like, all of a sudden, you know, they're a 4 seed. Obviously, FDU was what it was. which again doesn't bother me as much anymore since last year happened. Like, if that's what it took, fine. Like it sucks, but hey, like Detroit on that night was awesome. Like,
yeah, you got to experience the lows, experience the highs of sports. Yeah, fans,
I wouldn't trade it for anything. Say. Yeah, I wouldn't trade it for anything. But yeah, it's just the whole like just the. Necessarily the loss of like what comes after the loss of just like having that, just like hearing that all off season is what it is.
Yep.
That being said, I think Purdue does win. I'm gonna say 86-74. It's a high scoring game. Yeah, they don't play defense. Yep. Play the game. I'm gonna say Braden Smith after his not great game against Michigan. I'm gonna say he just kind of goes off. First team All-American this year, or so far 2 for 2 with Sporting News and AP. Spicy bowl prediction with the injury. Fletch hits for 4 threes.
If he has 4 threes, I feel pretty good about Purdue's chances. Yeah.
We're on the same wavelength. I'll say that. What was the spread currently? Wasn't it?
I think it's 9.5. It opened at 10.5. It's dropped to 9.5.
Okay, so 12, yeah, that makes sense. I'm right with you. I'm actually going to say 77 for that 9. So they're going to cover is what I think they're going to do, just because neither team's going to play defense, and they're probably
late second three. To tie the, it's the cover. People.
No, I think they're going to be in the double bonus is what I have a feeling.
Okay.
And because – I have a feeling TKR is probably going to get in foul trouble. That's my biggest concern. Yeah. I think player of the game is going to be Braden, and I think it's going to be a triple double. I think it happens.
Okay.
I think he TKR gets in foul trouble. He's going to stick his nose in it and get some rebounds, and he's going to make some plays in the open court when we actually turn the ball over. Because this team, I mean, you got to think the leaders that what we consider the leaders of this team were freshmen on the FDU team.
Yes.
They know that feeling. They know that narrative. They're not going to, they're here in the media and they're probably saying, bleep, ain't happening.
Well, and you know, the team's putting some Baltimore material up because we are the sexy pick to get upset right now. I mean, you heard Seth Davis on the selection show. He picked High Point not only to beat Purdue, but to beat either Clemson or McNeese and go to the Sweet 16. Clark picked High Point. I mean, it's all over the place. I'm fine with that. It happens all the time. So
they're not overlooking this team. I was listening to what Brian was saying last night. No, they're not overlooking this team. This is not the lackadaisical 22 team. I'm going to say that. And just we're going to show up. We're the most talented team. I bet they've been grinding in practice. I bet they've been looking at the scouting reports. And I bet their nose is going to be going for the ball and going after every loose ball this Thursday.
I got Purdue winning. A little lower scoring than you guys, but at least Purdue scoring. I'm going 78-62 Purdue. I think it's closer than the final score indicates, but Purdue shoots a lot of free throws towards the end to extend it. My player of the game, I'm going to go Trey Kaufman Wren. I actually think he stays out of foul trouble for the most part, at least in the first half. Does what he does, gets a double-double. But my spicy bowl prediction is the two freshmen, Coxon and Harris, who haven't played an NCAA tournament game, they combined for 20 points.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to kind of like, oh, we like this big stage type thing, which CJ liked the big stage against Alabama back in November. Hopefully Jakari plays like his daddy a little bit.
I mean, it could be good or bad, but Cox is back in the Northeast where he's from.
He's going to have family. They've got probably tickets.
Good point.
And that could be good or bad. It depends on, like, some guys love that. Yep. Some guys kind of fold under the pressure of knowing everybody's there watching them. So, never know.
I
was just in Providence last month. So, cool little city. I was there for a day.
Yeah, I've been to Rhode Island, but I didn't get to Providence. So I've heard it's cool though. So, if you're looking, we were just talking about spicy bowl predictions. If you're looking for something spicy and bowl to eat, while you're watching the Boilers or any basketball action going on this time of year, March Madness. Mad Mush has got you taken care of. The Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever we visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which for March is the jalapeno popper pizza. House blend of jalapeno cream cheese sauce, bacon, mozzarella, and cheese. And finish with a ranch drizzle, starting at just $14. So next time you're in town, tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you. You get $5 off any order over $20. Any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. You guys both like spicy food?
Yes.
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 Yes. Two yeses. All right. So you guys would be all game for trying that. So, and before we get into paying some other bills, I do have a blind ranking for you guys. I came up with that on the spot during this show. That's why I was writing some stuff down. So, as sports fans in general, but also as Purdue fans, pain loves misery, right? So I got five different Purdue NCAA tournament losses. This is good to vent it. It's good to get it out. It's good to vent on the pod. So I got five different ones for you guys, and I want your rankings, with worst being the most painful in your opinion to five. And it's interesting, like this list, if you would have asked me last year, I might have had different order than I do now. I feel like it kind of changes the way I look at back at things and how things have happened. But with that all said, we are starting with 2019 Elite Eight loss against Virginia.
I got mine.
I don't know where to rank this.
I'll go. That's one for me.
Okay. That outcome of the game, if you play that over 10 different times, I don't think it is that.
100%.
Yeah. That's one for me. go ahead, Aaron.
I was going to say, I'm going to go two.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would have been one for me. Just
yeah, one for me. Just again, being there, the feeling I had when Grady passed to Ryan, didn't he?
Grady passed to Ryan. Yep.
When they called the foul, like, oh my God.
We got two free throws.
We got two free throws. We were up two.
Two. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. I was like, just seeing like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, is this happening? Is this actually happening? I was on that basket. So I had like direct eyesight to the Diakite shot. As soon as it went up, I knew it was in. But just like having that feeling of like, oh my God, like the thing I've never seen is about to happen.
Yep.
And then like it being like just taken away in the most, again, like, and then seeing the shot or the tip pass come back and like, oh my God, like, they don't have any time to do this. Like, they're gonna, I was more worried they're gonna hoist up a half quarter and nail that. Like, that was my biggest fear.
Yeah.
But to see it actually, and then he passed it, I was like, oh my God, why are you passing that?
Yeah, dude? I thought time was running out.
Yeah. And then seeing that shot go in was just the biggest punch to the gut.
I fell on my seat.
Yeah, I think I don't know. Yeah. I don't even remember. I barely remember overtime. Like, I don't remember. I was like, if you would have asked me like how it went, like, I was like, oh, we didn't have a single lead, but we had lead with like, what, like 40 seconds,
47 left. Seconds left. Yeah. I don't even remember that either. Yeah.
Don't remember that at all. Yeah. Like, I blacked out. Yeah.
I think the reason I put this at two is because their Cinderella story, if it didn't happen, I don't think our last year would have really happened for us in regards to that blueprint.
It's fair.
And they were, I look back as Virginia was a team of destiny. They should have lost Purdue, should have lost to Auburn, should have lost to Texas Tech. They found ways to win every single one. Team of destiny that year. But no, I remember when Klein got the ball, everybody was jumping up and down. I remember telling the guy I went to the game with, a good friend, I said, he's got to make both. I said, we've seen this too many times. He makes one of two. What's he do? Make one of two.
So I had a friend who went to Wisconsin, text me when that happened, like, congrats. I was like, game, and I texted back, game's not over yet. And then that whole thing happened, he's like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, that's what I said. That, like,
douche. Yeah.
I will say, Carson, that year against Villanova in the first, was it first round? Second round. They had no answer for him.
Oh my God. I mean, he was stupid. That whole tournament, he was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that Nova game. Like, it was halftime, and I was like, this game's over. Like,
yeah,
you're like feeling like that confident in a tournament game. I was like, there's no chance they come back from this. Like, unconscious.
We know how the Tennessee game went and ended, but remember, we were blitzing them for a while. I remember an IU friend of mine texted me, said, you guys keep playing like this, you're winning it all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't really disagree so far through 2.5 games. We were just unconscious.
Yeah. That Tennessee game was another fun. Probably
fun to go back and watch those Carson highlights.
Yeah.
I will say, looking back at that team, we did have two good defenders, though, on that team.
We had, it was a good defensive team. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Because what people forget about Purdue tying for the Big Ten that year, Carson didn't play very well in January and February.
No.
But other guys did, and the defense was good. So,
yeah, people were like, kind of like over them. There's like, you know, they were kind of just like done with them. And then all of a sudden, he's just,
he reminded everybody he's a flamethrower. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hit the good with the bad.
That's why I've seen some people compare this team to the 2019 team of maybe they can make a run. I get it because, you know, Brayden's a special player.
Yeah.
But it's the defensive side that people are forgetting how good that team was defensively.
No, yeah.
You had Nojo just switching out on the perimeter.
Then he had Harms. Crazy as he was blocking shots. Aaron Wheeler was a good defender.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eric Hunter was a good defender. Yeah.
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 Yep.
All right. Which one do I want to go to next? 2016 Little Rock.
Man.
I really want to put this one, and I'm going to. This was the one of the most disappointing. Like, I remember I was at work, and I couldn't, because I was in a sheet metal box of an office. I had to do the thing on Gamecast, but I watched the highlights afterwards. When I got home, it was finishing up, and I literally was like, we are going to blow NBA talent on this team in regards to that was Biggie, AJ, Raphael, all these guys that I literally thought that team was easily Sweet 16 at floor.
They were rolling going into the tournament too.
Yeah.
And they were being pressed and trapped and could not figure it out. And
Vince had that one weird play where he got the ball and just like
didn't move. Stood there.
Biggie made the funny in the summer, like when like he was coming back on that, he like making fun of you, and he had that one where he was like playing 2K and like
his
controller died when he was playing. Yeah. That was funny. That's tough. I think I just based on what I think you might still have on the table, I'm gonna put this one at 3. Okay. That one sucked. I was watching this at a B Dubs on the northeast side of Indy. My boss didn't know. I like took the afternoon, took a long lunch.
Long lunch.
I remember like watching it. I was in a B Dubs and Indiana played afterwards. So like as I'm getting in, like the whole place is just filling up with Indiana fans. And so like they're all cheering for Little Rock, obviously. And I remember just like sitting there just so dejected of like, oh my God, like what the hell happened?
I'm proud of you, Webby. You didn't get in a fight.
It was a weird time for me.
Webby now might get in a fight.
Yeah.
Or at least I might get in a fight if I were in your position.
So you're putting it at 3.
I think that was the flukiest one, even though they were better than some of these other teams.
It was the dumbest. Like the one that the shot from the corner hit the rim, bounced up, went in. The one guy had like the 40-footer like bank shot, like
with the shot clock going out. Yeah, it was just ridiculous.
That one was. It was wild.
I will say that this was the turning point at me at work that I started watching March Madness actually on my work computer. Never got in trouble.
It should be allowed for 2 weeks of the year. All right. Next up, we'll rip the Band-Aid off. FDU 23.
Shockingly, I'm putting this at 4.
Okay. Just because last year?
Yes. 100% because last year.
I think. Yep.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm right there with you at 4. I think if it don't happen, then last year doesn't happen.
I agree. And just for me personally, like that, I was, I ended up like losing my grandma a few weeks later. And so like I knew that whole thing was going on. So it was like, you get outside factors of like, shockingly enough for me, like things were bigger than Purdue basketball, which like never. And so like that whole game, I was just kind of like, I was watching actually home by myself, It was my wife's bachelorette party that weekend because we were getting married a few weeks later, or a month later. And I like, I honestly, like, I know Terry said you were screaming. I honestly, like, barely even yelled TV, surprisingly, if you know me. And still, my wife probably still wouldn't believe me, but I, like, I was pretty tame that entire game because, like, after about like half of the first half, I was like, I have a really bad feeling about this. This is not going to go the way we want to, just because of, like, in that whole, like, yes, we won the Big Ten tournament, but I feel like that whole last, like, month was
that team's mojo was off. Michigan,
it was kind of like with Michigan, of like, we kept, like, squeaking out wins. I was like, this is going to run out at some point.
Yep.
And it did. And I don't know if maybe the whole, like, you know, Tobin Anderson out the night before, the two games before, like, kind of like just kind of put some things, I don't know, like that kind of threw off some mojo or whatever. It was our first time being or our second time being a one seed since whenever. I just think, yeah, that team is over, I mean, really over or overachieved that year.
Yes,
but because of last year, it kind of made it all worth it, so that's why I have that up for
good reason. I think I was so angry because I was more embarrassed.
I feel worse like 2 days later. Like,
yeah,
like, after the game happened, I was just like, well, shit, that happened. Like, that really sucked. Like, but it was like 2 days later, like, when it just like it kept coming, I was like, okay, this is
it's just the now, disbelief now. And the embarrassment, I think. And,
yeah.
Because, like you guys said, I wasn't expecting, even though that Purdue team was a one seed, I don't think I had them making the final four in my bracket. I might have had them making Elite Eight, but just didn't like the mojo. I mean, barely beat Penn State in the Big Ten tournament championship.
We squeaked out wins at home against Illinois, Indiana.
Yeah. It just didn't feel it. Like you said, it felt like the time was going to run out.
But
one stupid thing about that game that I always forget, and I just remembered it, FDU shouldn't have even been in the tournament. They didn't win their conference, but the team that did was too new to, I don't even remember who was too new to Division I. So,
Was it James Madison?
No. I thought it was some Texas school. I could be wrong.
It was a team we played that year in November.
Okay.
It was a one-worded word. I don't know. But that's what made it in a lot of people's eyes the biggest upset of all time, even more than Virginia losing the UMBC. Just because.
Yeah, I'd agree. All that. Yeah. There's the disbelief in knowing that, like, nothing you could say, like, you couldn't counteract anyone, like, you couldn't come back. At least, like, with like any other of these losses, like, you know, you didn't have much, but like you could. You could do something, but it was like, there's just no.
No.
You just got to just take it. And it sucked.
It sucked
a long time. It sucked until we beat Tennessee.
Yep. Two more here. 2012 Kansas.
This one's five for me. It surprisingly, because even though Robbie's my favorite all time pretty player. And seeing him in his last game, so like we were a 7 seed. It was Kansas, like
we're 10 seed. Like
10 seed. Sorry, 10 seed. Yeah. To Kansas, it was like, you know, it was just more like, you know, had it not been Robbie, I probably wouldn't even think about this game at all. But like just knowing that, like, he was my favorite player of all time, and knowing that, you know, I just thought it was so cool being able to like say I went to school at the same time Robbie Hummel did. Like, as dumb as that sounds, now I was a 32-year-old man.
Every time I saw him, how's the knee? You don't get asked that a million times,
idiot. Right. But that sucked. And then like same with like Ryan Smith, and like Ryan's had a great shot at the end, or a decent shot at the end.
And you know, a lot of people forget, and I'm not blaming it on him because he played well too, but Lewis missed the guy wide open down low for the layup.
Yep, he did. Yep.
Yeah. Didn't see him. So
I'll say five. That team had the Morris twins on it. That team was
national runner-up team. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
That team had NBA talent, top five talent. We had no business.
Who was the white center? Who was the white center too they had, or the power forward?
They lost.
Made a cup of coffee in NBA.
They
lost AD in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Cal's won national championship there.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now because it's going to bother me.
Like, but right? this doesn't sound right. It's some, it was like Ryan Whitney or something like that, right?
Whitney, yeah, it was Whitney.
Not Ryan, yeah.
Ryan but Whitney's it's not.
Barstool guy. I don't know why. I think he's an ex-NHLer. I don't know why that came to my mind, but yeah.
Ben McLemore no, was on that team as well.
That team was very good. I mean, it's your Kansas, yeah. Your typical Kansas team. But it was just Purdue outplayed them for like 58 okay. minutes.
Mea culpa for me. I screwed up. It was Ben McLemore. Whitney was on the team. You were 100% right, Tanner. It was Thomas Robinson that was down low. That was the 6'10 forward that kind of reminded me of the Morris twins.
Yeah, okay.
Morris twins were before.
Okay. Still a lot of NBA talent.
Yeah.
So, all right. And lastly, 2022 St. Peter's in Sweet 16.
Number two for me.
This would be three. Yep.
Yeah, that one pissed me off still.
Yeah, the fact that it was like, because again, it was, okay, you had Drayden Ivey, you know, Purdue hadn't had an athlete like him ever, which is again why he's probably my second of all time, maybe third, you know, because another kid on that team that was pretty good, Zach Edey, who wasn't the Zach Edey that we all know and love now, who's only a sophomore, but
still pretty damn good sophomore, though.
Still good, yeah.
Trayvon Williams.
Trayvon was a senior. You had Sasha's a senior. Eric Hunter was a senior.
Yeah.
And then Gillis
was on the team.
Yep. Newman.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
You had, it set up, you know, we for years we talked about, you know, just Purdue needs that break in the bracket, and all of a sudden a 15 seed beats a 2 seed, and I was like, well, holy crap, we're playing a 15 seed in the Sweet 16 to go to Painter's second Elite Eight in 3 years, like
to play a Carolina team that we whooped already.
Carolina beat the number one seed, which we already beat them and earlier, so I was like, oh my god, this is it, and then this
might be happening, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of like anything else, like just, you know, things that kind of kill you in the year that kind of cost Purdue a Big Ten championship was what cost them that game. Just like turnovers and lack of defense.
Yep. Didn't score a lot. Yeah. Turnovers didn't help.
Yeah. It sucks losing, you know, again, losing Ivy. That was really awful. I remember I had to watch the end of that game in a Mexican restaurant. So I was just like with no sound, like just trying to watch the game and not want to punch something.
That was the first time my wife had really seen me depressed after a sporting event. I just sat there for like 10 minutes and didn't say anything. I was just shell shocked because I wanted to punch that little dude on St. Peter's with the mustache. Can't think of his name. I got all the endorsement deals. And like, I just felt like our team went in just thinking they were going to cakewalk through it. And like Jaden alone had the talent just to take over, and they had a good game plan on him. And it's just frustrating because we had most of those guys you named, we should have just took over, and it just didn't happen. Yeah.
It absolutely. I mean, it's number again, it had to be my number three, but that team I look back at, it's probably one of the most talented Purdue teams that we've had probably the last decade. Yep. There is nothing they have to show forth. Like, maybe Jay's number in the rafters. That's it.
No, you're 100% correct. That's what sucks. They're real close to winning the Big Ten and Big Ten tournament and didn't get either.
Didn't they win that tournament in Brooklyn in like November?
Yeah, whooped Villanova and Carolina. Vice versa, Carolina, Villanova. That's when everybody's like, oh my God. Like, all right.
Yeah, because we ascended to number one. We lost because of Harper hitting the three at Rutgers in December. Because then we ascended to number one, lost right after we became number one. And then, okay, we got to number one. We got over that hurdle. This team, we thought, was going to be able to still win a Big Ten championship, still have all the talent. I mean, he had a 7-4 guy coming off the bench.
Well, if you remember right, we lost on three buzzer beaters that year. Rutgers, Michigan State, and Wisconsin. Chucky baked it in. I mean, so if any one of those doesn't happen, Purdue probably wins the Big Ten.
Absolutely.
So it was some bad luck, but...
But once again,
you got the bracket break after all that bad luck, and then you couldn't take advantage of it.
I actually thought that was the year, like, all right, yeah, we don't win the Big Ten title outright. We don't win the tourney. We couldn't get into Elite Eight. I mean, at least you'd have something to show for it. Nope.
Right.
That team has nothing to show for
it. I know. It's frustrating to look back on. And Webby, I don't know if you heard. I know you were refreshing the internet. We were talking about how that team was also had the misfortune to get beat by three different buzzer beaters in Big Ten play. Mm-hmm. Rutgers, Michigan State, and Wisconsin. And then, so we had bad luck. And then we thought, oh, my God, finally the bracket breaks. We got good luck.
Yep.
I can laugh about it now.
I still remember. Yeah, I still, I mean, I think that one again plays into the whole narrative of Purdue, like losing in the first round, even though again, that was a Sweet 16 loss.
Yeah, it just felt like a first round loss because they,
yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the harder part was ascending to number one and then the next game at Rutgers just getting beat by the buzzer.
Yeah.
And now it's like, it sucks now because like when you see all these, you know, March Madness compilation videos, like we are, we always see St. Peter's and we always, whether or not it's our game or Kentucky, we see them and we just know we lost to them. Then obviously you see FDU as well. It's like, and then sometimes you see Virginia as well.
But I just saw something the other day. Don't even know I was watching. It was Little Rock hitting a shot to tie it at the end. Like what the fuck? That's
nine. It was almost 10 years ago at this point. Yeah.
But we're still living. Yeah. Talk about the list because we're just love being in misery. I should have done 5 favorite NCAA tournament wins, but I feel like a lot of them would have been last year. So
yeah. Although I would say probably my top 2 might be against Tennessee just because one Final Four, then I don't remember 2000. So us seeing Gus goes the Elite Eight was pretty cool.
One of my favorite Purdue football wins of all time is Tennessee. So thank you, Tennessee.
Which again, hilarious that we're in the same bracket again.
And Gonzaga. And Gonzaga.
Yeah. Even though my friend is a Tennessee fan, he texted me mad that we're in the bracket. I was like, I'm confident Purdue, but I don't think we're going to see that.
I hate to say it. I don't like them, but in my bracket right here, I have Tennessee in the Final Four. So
really? First time ever. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
I can see it.
I do.
They have Houston in the bracket. UCLA as a potential second round matchup is a tough matchup because they play defense. You know, Tennessee doesn't have the offense they had last year.
If Illinois is hitting shots and doesn't play Maryland, they're pretty tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you never know. They're hot and cold.
I have not made a bracket yet. I need to make about 8 of them tonight.
I've made 2 and I stuck with the same thing so far.
I like Yale's
pretty
potential.
Chalky. Pretty chalky.
Yeah, I do like Yale's potential upset pick just because, what's his name? Polakidis. He can shoot the hell out of the ball.
The two kind of, I'm not calling them Cinderella, but 2 mid seeds I have making the Elite Eight, I have Marquette and BYU.
Yes, Marquette is going to beat Michigan State second round. There is no doubt about it.
The guards get hot.
Yeah.
Next, like, they had a down year, and
I called it last week here. You both picked Michigan State to go to the final. I knew Wisconsin was going to outscore them.
In BYU, I could see them losing to VCU, but what I like about them, their first 2 matchups, they're out in Denver. They're used to the altitude.
Yep.
Maybe I'm looking too much into that, and they got some talent, but I don't know. I took a few chances, but my Final Four is pretty chalky with 1s and 2s. Actually, all 1s and a 2. So, yeah. We'll see. I never do good at these. So,
I have 2 questions for you both.
Yep.
How far do we get? And who's your Final Four?
Well, in my bracket, I have us only beating High Point and losing to Clemson. Okay. But I hope I'm wrong.
I'll have us in the Sweet 16, probably. At least in 1 bracket. Final Four. So I haven't made a bracket.
We can definitely do it. That's just, I don't know what Purdue team's going to show up. That's my Final Four. I have Auburn, Florida, Duke, and Tennessee, and I have Duke over Florida in the championship.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to have Duke, Florida, Auburn, and probably like maybe Kentucky over Tennessee, maybe.
God, Tennessee fans would hate that. That'd be funny.
I know. I cannot imagine. I live in Indy, and I do not want to imagine a world where it's Kentucky versus Tennessee in Indianapolis because this place is going to be crawling with the people I don't like. I am going to leave if that's the case.
Take a vacation.
Well, or it could be Illinois, Tennessee.
Yeah.
A lot of orange.
Too much orange.
I mean, I love orange, but maybe not those shades. I only have 1 Big Ten team making the Sweet 16, and that's Maryland. I don't like a lot of the Big Ten. I think Purdue got a great draw. I do think Purdue got a great job, but a lot of the other Big Ten teams, I don't like their draws.
Yeah, Wisconsin, maybe, but again, playing BYU potentially, that's a trouble one. Oregon, I can see Oregon losing the Liberty. I don't know.
I know.
They play good defense, but yeah, I don't know. Let's see here. Michigan,
A lot of people are picking them to lose. I got them winning the first game, but I think A&M, assuming they beat Yale, is too physical for Michigan. Michigan turns it over like wildfire. So
I can't believe Michigan's a 2.5-point favorite as a 5 seed. That is wild.
Yeah, that this San Diego team, I guess, is really good. I haven't seen them, but
yeah, I haven't seen them either. Yeah, I don't know. I could see Michigan State losing the second round.
Yeah, yeah. I think Marquette gets them, but
I think Illinois is really the only has the highest ceiling to get to this week.
They have the highest ceiling, yes, I would agree. But They have not strung a lot of those games together.
Surprise. No, and they have to play Texas or Xavier, and that's no cakewalk at all. So
yeah.
Oh, my dad just texted me Malik Renew to the portal.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't be surprised a lot of their guys at least dip their toe in the water to see what's out there before they even meet the coach.
They got to test it.
Then they come back with, here's the bag I'm getting offered.
Right.
What can you do for me? Pretty much.
You know, like those UPS commercials, you say, what can Brown do for you? Now, what can you do for me, coach?
Speaking of coach and not coming here to play school, have you had Rick Pitino in your Final Four?
It's real tempting. I don't know, man. That they look really good.
But they
don't shoot the three well, which I don't know, just maybe worries me a little bit. I don't know.
I was also tempted to have him losing to Self in second round because I think Kansas is one of those teams that you know they have tons of talent and they've underachieved all year.
I love numbers and the metrics don't love St. John's for making a deep run.
Yeah, they don't shoot well.
But
besides that, they're a good team.
They don't, but have the second.
It's also Pitino.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Most experienced coach in the tournament, in my opinion.
I hope Omaha beats him. I want to see Omaha beating up a trash can. That's great.
I was talking to one of my reps yesterday. We were talking about the tournament, Pitino, and he asked me like if I thought Pitino was a good coach. I think pound for pound, he's the best coach in college basketball. Like I think
he's top five all time.
Oh yeah, and I was I think he's the best. I think he's the best in the country. Would you take him over Painter? And I'm like, I mean, I guess right now, like probably no, just because he's like 7,800 years old. Like, but like, I mean, he is.
Yeah. But back in 2013, we would have.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. He won a national title and Matt didn't have a good team. So
no. Yep. Yeah. Different. But I'm like, I mean, a little different. But I was like, yeah, he is him and Self, which I mean Self's
obviously. Or it could be Cal. It could be Cal.
No.
They had Dewey Flan back. I don't know.
That would be entertaining to see him and Calipari and Pitino.
Be great.
I'd have to shower after watching it, but I think it'd be.
I guess last question before we kind of wrap up tournament talk. Hubert Davis get let go if they lose tonight?
I think he's safe for another year.
Yeah, the fact that they made the tournament, he's probably safe. He shouldn't be.
He sucks at his job.
Did they make the tournament or was it a backroom deal? Because I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah. They should. Like, the fact that they made it over West Virginia and Indiana is just preposterous.
Indiana fans can be thrilled now because they probably don't have their head coach if either them that's or true. West Virginia gets in. So
yeah,
of course
that's true.
Everybody they Indiana hired is it Darren or Darian? Is it?
I think it's Darian.
Darian DeFries from
DeFries,
Fries DeFries, whatever from West Virginia. Previously, before that, he was at Drake. Before that, he was at Creighton for like a million years as assistant. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Solid hire, really good hire. We'll see though. But yeah, I mean.
It's probably like seventh or eighth down their list, but hey, sometimes that works out for the better. So
yeah, I mean,
we'll never know.
We've been saying they need a guy who's just going to coach. Like, and I think that's what they got. I'm already nauseous of all the like comparisons of like him and Cignetti
because they're both from West Virginia or had West Virginia ties.
Like, they're just guys who have worked ethic and coach, blah blah blah, but whatever.
Oh, you're gonna get the McAfee thing in Indy.
I don't pay attention to that anyway, so I probably won't see much. But
any other jobs open up in the Big Ten? We have three. So
no, I think Diebler would have opened up by now.
Yeah, and the only way I would see like a Michigan State is if like they win and it's just like peace, I'm done. Like, why not? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't see it would have been done by now.
Unless Chris Collins takes Villanova.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Yep. In terms of like, yeah, which I think would be a smart move for him.
I do too. I think he's done everything he can there.
Yeah. I mean, you're so limited there. And like the fact that he's done what he has done is really impressive. I don't see Nebraska moving on from Hoiberg.
No. Maybe they should, but they won't.
Who else? Obviously, Dusty's safe.
Allman's safe. Yeah, they're all.
Do you think Bryce Drew gets a look at either Minnesota or Iowa?
I would have fired him.
He should, yeah. 100%.
I read somewhere where Iowa only had $330,000 worth of NIL on their basketball roster, which was the worst in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend and who works in Iowa, and he says, yeah, there's just so much money that they funnel to football. There's just nothing left for basketball, which is wild.
Do you think they funnel it to the girls, like women's basketball, though?
Not now.
Probably. They should. I mean, not now.
But you don't think Caitlin Clark's funneling money into that program?
Well, I'm sure she is.
But,
yeah.
I mean, Drew Brees is probably funneling money into Purdue football, but
probably less and less each year.
It's probably funneling to LSU now.
You mean A&M?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, A&M too. His boys better come to Purdue, or I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah. I don't see unless like we see a Collins leave for another job, but I don't think he's getting let go by this point. I thought Cronin could have been a pick for Indiana. Yeah. I don't see him. I don't know whether a Midwest job is worth him leaving LA for now, because I think he just wants to be back from
Iowa and Minnesota aren't worth it. So
not worth it at all.
Tough jobs.
Who's Washington? I don't think coach.
Pringle. Sprinkle.
Danny Sprinkle. Yeah, he's safe. I mean,
yeah,
he's fine there.
You don't think if Mark Few wanted to come there,
they'd be would he leave Gonzaga?
I know, but
I think he's
I think he's gonna retire.
He's gonna retire before he does anything else.
Watch for them. Watch for them against Houston if that's a second round matchup. They're playing good basketball.
I mean, them and Florida have nightmare 8-9 scenarios with.
Florida, I'm so pissed. Mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because UConn's underperformed. They've been injured.
Oklahoma to the woodshed.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I watched the Oklahoma. Did they lose? Kentucky game in the SEC tournament. For some reason, that game was on at like 1 in the morning, and it was on Central Time. Where little Fierce's little brother hit a shot with like 5 seconds to go, and then the Kentucky guy drove and put up some shot with his offhand and nailed it.
Yep. It was
unbelievable.
I have Gillis winning the title, and I have Ethan Morton winning one game. I have Colorado State beating Memphis.
Yeah, Gillis has now been on 3 straight number one seeds, has a chance to play with 3 straight National Player of the Years. He's been on the number one team 4 straight years. Now,
every time I watch him, I watch Duke play a little bit of Louisville. Dinner. It's like that emoji I have the gif of the guy crying.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I feel watching him. Miss that guy.
Yeah. And I was watching a Colorado State game on Saturday, and it was cool because I hadn't watched them all year, and just seeing Ethan out there was funny. And I saw
high 11 on Sunday.
Is it a career high 11?
People literally just said a career high, so.
I guess I thought he had like maybe more against like Texas, like his sophomore year, he had a couple games where he could actually hit some threes and all that. But yeah, he came in immediately, like drove and like had like a little finger roll. I was like, where the hell did that come from? Like, I haven't seen that.
Scored a bunch in high school in Pennsylvania. So. Yeah.
Or then like there was that play that Gillis had earlier in the year where he went up and just like jammed it on some guy's head. I was like,
he had one dunk at Purdue the whole time in his career. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was cool to see that. Yeah.
Any final thoughts? We still got to pay bills on the other side, but any final thoughts before we do that?
Hope to be doing another pod next week talking about the
well, we will be doing another pod, but hopefully we're talking about still being alive.
Outside of that, we're brought to you by The Shop. They've been bringing hometown apparel to the fans since 2011. Started out in the garage, and I've got 3 retail locations in Indy. Hopefully you're here next weekend for the Boilers playing in Sweet 16. You can stop by. They've got, like I said, 3 locations, Broad Ripple, Carmel, downtown Indy. Just came out with some awesome new designs for Braden, for Trey. They came out with a really cool shooter shirt, kind of that replicates the Rick Mount era shooting shirt with the block P that's never been on a shirt by anybody yet, with the script P on the back. I bought it already, along with another script shirt. They had an awesome sale during the Big Ten tournament where there was 30% off. So I hope you took advantage of that. But if you haven't, you can still get used deals. You can go to shopindy.com, use promo code breakdown, and you get free shipping off your order.
Yep, take advantage of that for sure. So, well, fellas, we'll be talking to you again next week. Hopefully we're in good moods and talk about Purdue getting ready to play in the Sweet 16 in Indy. But until then, let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Panthers, and then either the Tigers or the Cowboys.
Boiler up.
Boiler up.